In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 143. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here. John, how are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right, good.
You feeling pretty fired up? I mean, talk to Yankee fans, man. You're ready to roll.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking good. I mean, Soto, obviously, he's the talk of the town. I mean, I don't even think Judge has gotten a hit yet this spring, I don't think. But I keep freaking out about your toe theory, Brian, and that's sitting in the back of my head. There hasn't been any snuffs of that. But God darn, man, Soto, holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's funny that I just assumed that Judge would be fine. He does have two hits this spring. He's 2-for-14. I mean,
he'll be fine.
We'll see. I'm
he's not limping.
I certainly do not like the Yankees, but I'm interested in their lineup. I mean, if everyone's healthy, it's kind of insane. And Rizzo, Rizzo's a guy no one's talking about, but he's kind of, if you believe in the theory that a pitcher only has so many good pitches, Rizzo's going to get some meatballs.
Yeah.
Because you have to focus on everybody else. And he might be an afterthought.
What people forget about Rizzo is last season he was one of the best hitters in baseball until he got cracked in the head by Tatis.
Yeah, and between him and Verdugo, you can't sleep on them because they can put the ball in a place that's going to be trouble. So if you focus too much on whether it's Judge or even Giancarlo, and you have to waste a few on one of those guys, it could hurt you.
It's a good lineup for to wear out pitchers. Because we all know what Soto can do. Verdugo's good at running a count, and Rizzo's good at running a count.
Yeah.
And that can wear, right? And then that's when they make mistakes, and that's when you put the ball out of the park for traditional Yankee baseball. But, yeah, so far, so good. A little bit of injuries here and there, but nothing that would be astronomical to hurt your
–
exactly, to hurt your roster.
So this is what we're going to talk today about, in no particular order, Mookie Betts, and playing shortstop. We'll talk – however you say his name. Is it Brian Bello? Brian Bello? I always mess it up. No disrespect. And we'll also talk about the Savannah Bananas in Houston because they had...
the dog and pony show, right? They usually do.
I think they've jumped the shark, in my opinion.
I do, too.
But they had Clemens on the mound.
Well, I feel like that's what they're going for, right? I feel like they're getting in bigger stadiums.
In every city, they're going to have somebody.
Somebody, right. And they're in a bigger stadium, so they got the draw. I mean, they're playing the game. They're playing the game. And people are still going out, but again, it's a little bit, getting a little stale.
Jesse Cole, what he should do is he should do this tour, show some private equity schlubs the numbers, and then sell it.
Sell it.
He should get out because I don't think it's got as much a shelf life as people think.
No, because traditional baseball still wins out. I mean, even though the price,
Well, it's gotten so performative and less organic. When it started, it was all sort of fun and new.
Right.
And now they have a template.
It's almost like, what was I going to see when I went? Now you kind of know what you're going to see. It's like the Globetrotters.
Correct. And they hate that, by the way, because I've had Jackson Olson on, and I make that comparison, and they bristle at that for sure. Let's talk about Mookie, because he did get a but. It's not like he hasn't played short before. He played
Had 16 games, I think, last
something
year,
something like that. He played second, short, and center,
and right,
and so.
And he bowled a 300 game, I believe.
The thing that's crazy for me is that I don't think it's hard for a lot of these athletes in the majors to play a different position here and there, but to play and start and be legit, everyday good.
Look like you know what you're doing.
It's really hard because you go to games, you realize how much prep work goes into every pregame at your position. And so he can't pregame four positions. And so to be able to go in and out like that, it just shows you, man, I just get back to like the Red Sox or whatever. Why wouldn't the Red Sox, now the Dodgers are doing it out of need, but why wouldn't they say, You can play where you want.
Yeah, well, he originally drafted, we know, by the Red Sox, and he was originally a shortstop.
Yeah.
But he had
so many. But so many of these kids are.
Exactly, because they're great athletes. I mean, right. Bryce Harper was a catcher, right? Yeah. Most of the catchers, best players are catchers, shortstop, center fielders, pitchers.
Yep. That's right, up the middle.
But he, guys, had some throwing issues, so they move him to second, first, and then to the outfield. But listen, we've all watched this dude play. He's done everything he possibly could at every position. I mean, let's not even talk about he's won an MVP, right? You put him in right field, he plays on the biggest stage, he makes great plays, banging into the wall. You put him at second base, he holds his own. I mean, you look at the highlights of him, I'll say highlights, just the plays that he's made at shortstop.
Yeah.
If you just started watching baseball and compared him to any other shortstop out there and you look, you're not going to be like, this guy doesn't play shortstop. He knows what he's doing.
And this is at the major league level. And, you know, and you're not even discounting the fact that he is one of the smartest base runners. Like, baseball people know, like, if there's an open bag or whatever, like, he's going to get it. He knows exactly what to do in every scenario. And to me, in a game that's become much more one-dimensional, right, you're a bopper or you're a light-hitting fielder who's great. Like, there aren't – Mike Trout is obviously, like, one of them, and there's a couple. But even, like, Harper, he's limited, right?
I mean,
Betts is an all-around – I'm not even going to use, like, the five-tool crap, but he is a baseball player.
Well, he's a five-tool player. I mean, he's got speed, he's got the arm, and he's got the power.
No, I know, but the term is so overused. But,
right.
I mean, for me
– But he – like, what you're saying, Brian, is he's one of the few that can do it all.
That is just a baseball player.
Right.
Like Giancarlo Stanton is a hitter.
Right. Sometimes.
But the point
is,
most
of the time,
he's not actually a baseball player.
Right. He's not a guy that is going to go out there and get a walk and could wind up at third somehow.
Yeah. And get, you know, X amount of putouts and, you know, make a great relay
leaping
throw.
Exactly.
And you know.
The other thing I think is interesting about this whole scenario is what that says about Mookie Betts, the player, right? Now, let's be honest. You're gauged by getting into the Hall of Fame by accolades, right, and numbers. 9-time All-Star,
right.
13-time All-Star, right. Batting title. By him changing positions, he automatically puts himself at risk of not becoming an All-Star, regardless of if there's a DH or not.
Right.
He automatically puts himself at risk because he's not playing that position. Everybody looks at Mookie Betts, and they still, if you ask 75% of the people that even watch baseball and they probably ask him what position Mookie Betts plays, they'll say right field or outfield.
Right.
They won't say shortstop. They won't say second base. So right away, he's at a disadvantage.
So you think it's hurting his Hall of Fame? Because I think in general, even as great as he is, he's still 3 or 4 great years away from being a Hall of Famer.
Right. He has to stay on the field. He has to keep doing what he's doing. But that being said, it does, on paper, when you go and look at it, if by chance he doesn't make the All-Star team because he moved full-time to shortstop,
right,
and he gets beat out by, say, a hot hitter or a Dansby Swanson, that regardless of what Dansby said about winning gold gloves or whatever, that plays into it too. He could win multiple gold gloves in right field. Now he's moving to a different position. So it speaks a lot, I say, about Mookie Betts the person. And if you know anything about him or read anything about him, I think that's his M.O. That's just how he is.
He's to play and win.
Yep.
It's just so sad to me. It's just so sad.
I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, he wasn't staying with the Red Sox regardless.
Well, I mean, a lot of people say
he wanted out.
Yeah, he didn't want to stay. I mean, I think that as in the Red Sox defense, I think that is true. I do understand that, but it's still to have such a dynamic player that you had and could have had for longer.
I mean, yeah. I mean, think if he was the guy that you got everything broiling around instead of Devers, but you still had Devers.
Right, and I'm trying to think. I don't even know what kind of spring Bogarts has had.
Well, they moved him to the second base. He's not their shortstop anymore.
So weird.
So, I mean, look at that. I mean, that automatically tells you that
he's already taken
a step back. But come on, we knew this by these contracts these guys were signing last year.
Actually, as much as I love Bogarts, I wouldn't have given him what San Diego gave him.
And that's what you're seeing now.
Yeah.
People aren't getting these contracts. They're not getting these big deals, these long deals, these 30-year-olds.
It's crazy. If you have timing, it's like real estate. If you time it right, you could do great or just get totally hosed.
Well, it's nuts, too. Real quick about contracts, if you look at these contracts now where these guys have signed these young players, right? They haven't even played Major League Baseball. Like, everyone's clamoring that the Orioles should sign Gunnar Henderson, sign Adley Rutschman to long-term deals, lock up Jackson Holliday. Well, we've already seen players do that, right, across Major League Baseball. It all started with, like, Acuna in the Braves getting, like, it was 8 years, 100-something million. And he's talking about wanting to extend. But then you got guys like Bryce Harper who are talking about he wants to extend. And his deal goes through 2031, right? He's 5 years.
He wants an extension now?
They've talked about it, that he'll be 39 years old when that deal's up.
Well, this is an interesting segue. We're talking with John Senecal. This is Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, A Deep Drive into the Greatest Rivalry in Sports. Episode 143 is the Breon Bello
contract. Exactly what we were talking about. Yeah.
And the difference is, between like the 8 year, $300 million, this was much earlier in his arbitration eligible cycle, and it's for less years and less money. So, like, if you take a guy who's in like his second year and you give him 5 for $50 million, it in some ways I think it's a really kind of a brilliant deal. And I'm not the first person to say this, because at the money in this, at this level of Major League Baseball, if he gives you 2 or 3 years and ends up not being that good, you're eating 20, 30 million. It's like you're not taking a big risk.
It's so true, because over the course of that deal, even if he pans out and they take his option, it's like, what, almost 80 million. It's like 81 million or something. But that's over the course of 6 years. And if you look at the going rate, you could look at that and he could pitch okay this year, blow his arm out, miss a season, and just fizzle out over the next 3 years. And that's still at the going rate of what you're paying players to do.
And I was trying to think about what, from the player perspective, makes it good. And obviously, he's getting above average for, like, you know, I think he's even pre-arbitration for those years. He's getting above average for it. And then at the end of it, if he's good, he's young enough to get that fat deal. But on top of it, it's like, if you're thinking about it from a straight perspective, if I'm 23 years old or 22 years old, what if I get hurt? What if I never, like, that's money they can't take away from him. So no matter what, now, unless he's an idiot, his life is set.
Yeah. And the other thing is if you're that age and you're on a team, any team in Major League Baseball, and you get hurt, right? He, let's be honest, he doesn't have a lot of Major League service, right?
Doesn't.
So if he gets hurt at his age, he's most likely not coming right back to the Major League roster, right? He's going to be out for a good amount of time, probably have to work his way back. And at that stage of the game, all these other guys who are their so-called next guys are going to be burning right by him in the minor leagues. So he's not coming back to a Major League roster, right? Where they'll put him in the minor leagues just to get him some work. He's coming back to work himself back, to prove himself again, which is even harder. So that even speaks bigger to what you're saying, Brian, is because now he doesn't have to worry about that. So if he does get hurt, he can realize that, okay, I'm going to be fine. This team's invested in me. So yes, they're going to put it their best effort too, most likely, to get me back.
Yep. He's 24. He's going into his third season, really his second full season. And so it was one of the few things the Red Sox, I thought, did well. And I think it's a kind of a template for something to do, even though it seems like, God, you can't take, you can do that with your whole roster.
Yeah.
There's probably 3 or 4 guys you could do it to. But if you think about it, if you lock up 4 guys for $200 million for 5 years, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder what, like, Casas is thinking and Duran is thinking right now.
See, I think Duran hasn't proven himself to be worth more yet. Like, he was down, up and down.
But based
up,
on what you just said, Casas, based on what you just
so
said.
So if it was Duran, this is what I was saying. If it was Duran and he gets offered that, I'd take it.
Right.
But if it's Casas, I think his upside in terms of contracts, if you think he can play first and you think he can hit 40.
Well, not necessarily the exact dollars, but
he would command,
an investment.
He would command
I'm
more.
Talking like an investment. Now listen, like Adley Rutschman, right? New owners in Baltimore coming in, money to spend, I'm sure something after the next season. But when Adley Rutschman first came up and he was tearing up spring training, they told him he's not going to make the team in spring training.
Right?
So if I'm Adley Rutschman, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, we got something great going here in Baltimore, but there was a time when I was ripping things up and I should have been up here.
Yeah.
And they were going to keep me down so they could keep me another year.
Right.
And use me. So maybe
service time bullcrap.
So maybe I'm not going to eat their lettuce they're selling me, right? Maybe I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to free agency and I'm going to go to whatever team it be, may be. You're not getting the hometown discount. So I feel like there's thin lines these guys are walking with these organizations, because a guy like Adley Rutschman is a marquee player. We all know that because it's catching, right? Catching is a big deal. First baseman, you know, they come and go,
right? Yep.
I mean, Casas could get hurt tomorrow and they can get Joey Votto in there and he could plug in and do what he needs to do, right? But that being said, it's still a player. it's still an investment, and they're still a talent. So by the Red Sox doing that, a lot of them say, well, it's a dog and pony show because they're rolling into the Dominican Republic. This guy's from the Dominican. We're going to throw a bunch of money at him, get the fan base all riled up because we haven't done nothing. But at the same time, you got other players there that I think deserve it too.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to keep an eye on for sure. He is John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I think it was you or Matt Sarois who produces this and is often a guest. I don't know who first circulated the renderings of Oakland's potential stadium in Vegas, but it's cool, and I want you to talk about that, but I'm also going to throw something out there. I think Vegas's acceptance as a major league city, and I don't think, say, baseball, I'm talking in terms of pro sports, it makes a lot of sense. Like, they figured out how to regulate gambling. They obviously have enough of a fan base. The Vegas Golden Knights have done great. The Raiders, I'm sure, will long-term do really, really well. The NBA, we all know they want to get there, but I actually think baseball is the worst sport for Las Vegas. And the reason I think is mainly because of the climate. Because if you've ever been there in August, it's brutal. It's not fun for, and if they're not going to build, and the renderings are not for indoors, it's outdoors.
No, I think it's a closed stadium, but it's like a glass, it's not a retractable roof.
So then they just pump the AC
into
it?
They must. They don't even, the footprint for the place they're building it isn't big enough for a retractable roof if they build it.
It looks great.
It looks cool. Like you said it perfect, Brian. It looks cool. Does it look feasible? I mean, if you read articles about it, it sounds like it's just an AI generated, happy meal kind of. That they're just telling, they're feeding a little kid something to get him happy.
Because it's not a done deal. I mean, the mayor doesn't even want them there anymore. So,
The financing. There's all sorts of issues with public financing, with the teachers unions in Nevada trying to block public financing, and these teams that they hold these movements and these teams over them looking for public money, obviously, and they want like $350 million in public money.
I'm a believer in public money because I think that these franchises are so good to have. I don't think Vegas needs to do it because they don't need baseball. Vegas doesn't need the A's. It just doesn't.
No, they don't. And the fact that they want to move there, and the fact that they are thinking of building, what, it's like 32,000 seat, 33,000 seat, that right away tells you that they don't have a lot of, like, hope that they're going to get a lot of players there, right? Players.
It's better to, especially in a new place, it's better to have a smaller footprint and have it feel like it's full than have a 50,000. If you have 33,000 in a 50,000 seat place, it doesn't feel great.
Right.
If you have 25 in a 33, it feels a lot better.
But at the same time, if you're going to look at these teams, we honestly think that the A's are going to move to Vegas, right? And after the first year, I'll even give them the first year.
Okay.
That they're going to put 25,000 people in that stadium every game for 81 games a season. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because, listen, they say they need to move there to sustain a team, right? To keep a team competitive, to put a competitive team on the field. They need to move there, build the stadium, blah, 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 the revenue. The same deal that they always sell, right? That all these teams sell. Marlins sell the same deal. What the heck are the Marlins doing? Nothing, dude. They're getting like 8,000-10,000 people a game.
Right.
And that's in a climate where, like, I feel like it would be more apt for people to go to a baseball game. It's not in the middle of a desert.
Yeah, I think that Florida's a crap salad.
I mean, the owner of the A's is wealthy. He's the heir to the Gap fortune, right? He's worth like $3 billion. He doesn't need revenue sharing and a stadium to fund a baseball team. They had the lowest payroll in Major League Baseball last year. It was like under $60 million, right? The Major League Baseball teams get on average $100 million just on licensing deals with television.
Right. So you can put dog crap out there and you're going to make money.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And it's like they're going to sell a bill of goods that they got to move a team in order to fund a team on the field competitive. It's a total bunch of horseshit.
So what's going
to
happen, you think?
I mean, they want to put up $500 million of their own money. The Fisher family, I think it's the Fishers, yeah. And then they want $500 million in private investing, and then they want like the public funding. If they don't get the public funding, then they're going to have to sell a bigger stake in the team, right? And you know it's not going to be $1.5 billion they're talking about. Everything runs over cost.
Yeah.
Everything runs over cost. So what happens then? They had a fan fest out there. I think it was this past weekend, and like
nobody
shows up in like a 10,000 seat. They're having like exhibition games. They're not selling those games out. If you thought a team was moving there in a year, you figure like that place would be rabid with fans.
Yeah, like I said, I was surprised by the mayor coming out against it, and I think it's so important to have franchises. I don't think Vegas needs it.
Football is one thing. You could, you know, you got what, 10 games at the most once a week.
Plus, even if you don't give a crap, if you told me if I was, you know, at the high roller table and like you want two tickets to the Raiders, I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's different. But
and you want to go see the A's? They got a cool stadium. It's like, ah, dude, I'm going to watch U2 at the Sphere.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, the renderings, the right field video board, is like built into the roof.
Yeah.
It's,
but the place has no lights. Unless that video board is lights.
I don't know. They can light up the whole top. I don't know. If it were to build, there's no way it's 1.5
literally feel
billion,
like someone just pulled that together on their computer.
When they went to ChatGPT and said, give me the coolest stadium for Vegas.
And they like took part of the Opera House in what, Australia?
Yeah.
And something else. They just threw some colors on it.
It's funny.
There was people just ragging on that so bad. They got down so bad where it was like, they looked up and I think like Brent Rooker is on the scoreboard batting like 308. And someone's like, when is Brent Rooker ever going to bat 308?
I gotta find my glasses. The guy they have there is Zach Geloff. I don't even know if he's a real player.
I think he's an infielder, shortstop. He's a rookie.
All right.
But still, it's like, I mean, pipe dreams.
I just don't know where they'd go.
Well, listen, their lease is supposedly up in Oakland after this coming season, 2024. And they're going somewhere. They don't know where yet. They've talked to Sacramento. They've talked to Salt Lake, which would be interesting because there's a big push to get a major league team in Salt Lake City,
right,
which could be like a prequel to being like, oh, look, we can, you know, we're behind a team being here. We got a big, you know, fan base. But I still think it's going to be Nashville for one. But yeah, the Oakland A's are interesting. I mean, they have been a mess
for a long. Go back to Moneyball. I mean, it's so, you know, even though they were great in those years.
I don't know.
They've won World Series. I mean, it's been 20 years.
I'm just tired of these rich-ass billionaires. Like, if you own a major league team, they're worth $1 billion. Every major league team is worth $1 billion, yeah, all right? And you're sitting here complaining that you don't have $150 million to spend somehow?
Right.
Get out of here.
Yep.
Stop that noise.
I know, but yet it keeps happening over and over.
Stop it.
Again. All right, that's it. We're
not going to talk about the bananas.
You want to talk about Clemens?
Yes.
Fat Clemens?
He went out there with a hoodie, dude. He had a hoodie under his jersey. Come on.
I wonder how much you got. First of all, I wonder how much
you
got paid
for it. If you're wearing a hoodie playing baseball, like that's the kid in Little League. You're like, dude, why are you wearing a hoodie right now? Take off the hoodie. We're playing ball here.
So my question is, I wonder how much they paid him. And I wonder, like,
you still think he gives a rat's ass about the Hall of Fame?
I do. I don't know. He's so dumb. But
you remember that press conference when they were all up in him about the Brian McNamee stuff and they asked him about the Hall of Fame? And he said, you think I give a rat's ass about the Hall of Fame?
The older you get, the more you care.
Of course he does. Yeah. Ask Pete Rose.
And the truth is, like, we all know he's good enough. That's a stupid conversation. But I want to know, like, why does he do it? They can't give him $1 million because
I think he does it for the applause.
He just wants the attention?
I think so. I mean, come on, guy. When you're on this stage, when you've been on that stage that long and you've dropped that hard and you gotta come back, I feel like any chance you get for people to acknowledge your existence is helps you mentally, everything. Yeah. How hard do you think it is to be that guy for a while? Like, no matter where he goes, someone's going to call him a scab.
Yeah.
No matter what.
4,916 major league innings. 4,672 strikeouts.
I saw him when
ERA
I was like
of 3.12.
Yeah, like just like Barry Bonds, numbers are crazy. I saw him when I was like 12 years old at like a baseball card show. He came in behind me. He was doing autographs. He like literally, I turned around. He was right there. Introduced himself to me. He's like, oh hey, I'm Roger Clemens. Like, of course I know who you are. But I thought that was one of the coolest things ever. Then he's like getting needles in the Sky Dome in his rear, and I'm like, come on, guy.
Here's the deal. I mean, again, just a review for people. First of all, I went to see him pitch against the Yankees, lose 4-3. I saw him warm up. I had like third row bleachers at Fenway and watched him warm up. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen, to watch him warm up. He had like a 500 year or whatever, but if you look at some of the numbers in his last 2 years in Boston, the bullpen blew a ton of crap for him, like a ton of games. and he was much better than the stats were. But I do think that he was like the Lance Armstrong thing. He's like, he left Boston. He wanted to stick it to him so bad.
Right.
Whereas Bonds was mad and jealous of Maguire and Sosa. With Clemens, he just was so angry he wanted to stick it to Boston so bad. That's why he did it. And I don't know. I can't tell you what I would do or not do in these situations and what it's like to be the best and then see yourself not be the best anymore. Like, I don't know what that would do to a person. And I'd like to think I would never change anything I do. But I do resent Clemens a ton for a lot of reasons. The same way Bonds. I mean, I'm not going to get into the steroid Hall of Fame stuff, but those guys are interesting because, you know, Bonds is more egregious because he never really totally got caught and it's so obvious what he did.
Right.
And the thing, same with Clemens. Like, the thing with Clemens I don't like is that when you look at me as a journalist and lie to me and then somehow want me to feel bad about you later.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of, I don't, that's why, like, I mean, and Lance Armstrong, he was a hero to me.
Yeah.
And he, not only did he lie, but he chastised the people asking the questions as if they were jerks.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, reprehensible. So that's why, I mean, Clemens, I had three posters on my wall as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Clemens, Neely, and Boggs. And Clemens let me down to the point where I will not forgive him. I won't.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's like they let you down, they let themselves down. It's an interesting dynamic. You have people that, like Mark Maguire, right? Basically did the same thing.
But at least he was accountable.
But, like, nobody cares. It's so strange. Canseco, like... But he'll never get a chance.
About him, or they don't care that.
But it's such an interesting dynamic across the whole sport. Like, who gets to play and who doesn't get to play? Like, I just don't get it.
I mean, like,
Alex Rodriguez is like a hero. Like, that guy's on freaking Shark Tank. He's the biggest fraud there is in the whole sport.
Right. Well, he won't get.
I mean, come on.
Either,
so. None of them will. But still, it's like, how do you get? Like, at what point?
Like, why does society forgive one and not the other?
I don't get it.
Well,
I just
told
don't
you why
get
I
it.
Won't forgive Clemens, but.
But who's making that decision? Like, somebody is pushing a button somewhere. Like, look at all those people that got canceled during the Me Too movement for, like, looking at somebody wrong. I just don't, like, who's the person that's deciding? Like, Canseco gets to do card shows at bowling alleys, and Roger Clemens gets to walk out in front of 50,000 people and pitch for the Savannah Bananas and get hailed a hero by a bunch of kids who don't even know how bad he screwed up. Like, I don't get that. Like, who gets to decide that? It's total crap.
Hmm.
It's just total crap.
I don't have a response. I like Angry John way better than Happy John.
Well, it annoys me. It's like, because it happens every day in society. It's like, you can go to prison for 25 years for not committing a murder because somebody doesn't like the color of your skin or how you looked at. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, who gets to decide that? It's on so many levels. It's just wrong.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we could morph this into stuff that I do on a daily basis in terms of politics and
But these
and
people
society.
Are like in the public eye every day,
yeah.
Right? And like, they are faces of multi-billion dollar companies. Alex Rodriguez is a face of all sorts of stuff.
Well, now he's a face of a pro sports
Like, I don't
team.
Get it. Walks around like it's nothing ever happened.
Yeah, but what would you want him to do?
I mean, I don't know. Go to a bowling alley and do autographs with Canseco. What makes those two any different?
Well, but if first of all, I mean, they had different careers. I mean, the bottom line.
One told the truth and one was a complete liar.
Right. That's
and the
true.
Guy who's a complete liar is sitting up there like that dude could run for president and get more votes than the two clowns we got going right now, probably.
A-Rod.
Yeah. Probably could, given the certain climate.
But I if you
Mr.
Were him,
Politico has, I mean, he's actually contemplating what I just said. This is so funny. I wish the people could see the look on your
why?
Face. You know more about politics than any two of us looking right now, and you're actually thinking I might be right. He probably could
no,
beat him.
No. I think that people like A-Rod for some reason, and I don't understand why. I'm more thinking about, like, what would you rather him do? Like, you mad at him for trying to build on something?
I just don't. I mean, understand why it's so accepted.
Canseco would take his stuff in a second if he could.
I don't. No one should ever.
Do you
not,
want them to stop living?
No.
Just because
no
they
one should
up?
Ever tell. No one should ever go against what is given to you. In my opinion, right? If they're going to let you go, as long as you're not like committing fraud and doing like a bunch
right.
of wrong stuff and legal stuff,
so you don't
fine.
Blame him for trying to make
no,
money and do.
No, but
all
at the same stuff. Time, it's like
it's
whole,
not, it's
hold
not,
yourself accountable.
Yeah.
Like, why are we celebrating someone who's done the exact same stuff, if not worse, than everybody else?
Right, we're gonna leave it. You should come on. You want to be a fill-in on my day side show? Yeah, I think you do a good job.
I don't know. I just got riled up about
that.
That's
good. Well, listen, I'll just say this. One of my biggest things, and I'm not going to bring Trump or anything else into it, but Americans are sick of the elite and the establishment, right? And in politics, it's depending on your perspective, some people feel really unfortunate that one particular person stepped into that void. But they're two separate things, in my opinion. The dissatisfaction with the elite and the establishment predated Trump. And what you're speaking to is like, why do people get to fail upward? Like, why do people get a free pass in life? And it's the same thing. Like, there is a sense of injustice about a lot of things that happen. So I think that sports is just sort of a microcosm of that sentiment, which might be a global sentiment, but I surely know it's a sentiment here in America. So we'll leave it at that. We're not going to go into politics. We promise we would never do something like that.
That's the closest we ever got, though.
I know. It was good, though. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.